Hi guys, this is the Pike Podcast. My name is Andy Pike and this is episode 10. Some of you already know that I haven't posted my podcast in a while. I do apologise, I've been away, a few things have got in the way and have had to take priority. Life happens guys, so here it is. This is episode 10 with Sarah Davis. It's weightlifting and dogs. Before you listen, just bear in mind that this was a video call, so the quality isn't great and it has taken a while for me to try and convert the file into an MP3. But anyway, I've done it. It's ready to go. Enjoy. There are some crazy stuff that we talk about and probably stuff that you don't expect. So have a listen and then go check her out on Instagram. Enjoy. Sarah, welcome. Thanks for being on my podcast. Today we're going to be talking about weightlifting and dogs. Just a quick introduction. Who are you? What are you? Talk to me. Go. Tell everyone what you're about.
So I'm Sarah Davis. I am a weightlifter for Great Britain. I compete internationally for them. So I've competed at World Championships, European Championships, two Commonwealth Games. I won European under 23 medals in 2015. I was the first Brit to actually win that competition, Which was pretty cool. There was something special about hearing your national anthem when you stand on top of the rostrum, which was super cool. But as well as the weightlifting, I am a qualified teacher, but not teaching at the minute so that I can train as full-time as possible. So I run a company called Wisdom Weightlifting, coaching weightlifting with my fiance Jack. So that keeps us busy, keeps money coming in.
Yeah.
And as well as all that, I also compete in pageants, which is a little bit different. And
everything.
My hobby away from weightlifting.
Yeah, amazing. Cool. Okay. So that's kind of summarized a lot of my questions already, which is great. Now, with weightlifting, like, I think at the moment it's becoming a lot more popular and more. There's a lot more exposure, right? Potentially due to CrossFit all that jazz, right? When did you actually start weightlifting? That would be my first question to you.
So I started lifting in September 2011. So I was 19, which in terms of like elite sport, I guess is quite old because you think about like your high level athletes or gymnasts, like they start when they're tiny. But I guess one of the good things about weightlifting and what has made it so popular is it can generally pick it up a bit later, especially women, because they're naturally quite lower body strong, which suits weightlifting.
Cool.
I guess old, but compared to some people that have started now, maybe not.
Well, this is it, right? This is kind of going on to the master's element. Like I see now that a lot of people are like entering the master's and the standards of it are quite low, but it's a great way for people now exposing themselves to weightlifting and potentially hopefully it gives like weightlifting a better name. Be like, weightlifting is actually really cool, and I myself do weightlifting and I can't get enough. It is addictive, like lifting something
up
your
head. And like the master stuff is good because for some people where they are starting later,
they're
not going to get good enough to qualify for a British senior championships, but they can qualify for a British masters championship and potentially do like a European masters and qualify to do that sort of stuff. So it still gives them that success through the sport and they still get to compete, like, which surely is what you train in a competitive sport to do, is to compete. Like, I can't imagine doing anything and not training to a competition. But that could just be.
I think for most people, that anyone who's done sport in their lifetime, being competitive, like, you need some kind of goal to hit and some sort of competition to be like, I want to achieve that. I need to train because of this. So I really get that. Cool. Okay. Then going on to your business. So with Wisdom Weightlifting, when did that start and what was the whole starting process for that? What was the initial?
So Jack set it up in 2014 when the men lost their funding. So everyone was funded pre-2012, so like from 2010 to 2014, everyone was funded. It was like part of the whole London 2012 and the Olympic legacy and all that sort of stuff. And then obviously once London happened, there was no Olympic legacy, like it just disappeared. And because internationally we don't win medals at a senior level, it meant that the UK sport are basically a business and they only care about medals. That's their like result. So because we weren't winning medals, they originally pulled the funding from everybody. So British Weightlifting then went back and appealed it and was like, look, we've got these girls, like they have a chance at winning medals at Tokyo and onwards. And they were like, okay, we'll just girls. So I guess that's when Jack says I stole his funding, because until that point I wasn't funded.
Wow. Okay.
He set up Wisdom to as a source of income for him to allow him to keep training. like full time as possible.
Yeah.
At the time, I was teaching part time, so like I just wasn't interested in it. I was funded.
Yeah.
I was teaching part time, like I was pretty cushy. Like if you did a workshop, like I'd go and do that, but I didn't really do any PT. I didn't do any programs until last year.
Right.
2017, yeah, so 2017 when the women lost their funding, and at the end of the summer 2016 I stopped teaching because I was like, I'm funded, I'm gonna train full-time and go for Commonwealth Games and try and get myself a medal, so I'm gonna be a full-time athlete. And then so that was in the summer, and then in the September they announced they were cutting the funding for the women, and I was kind of like, oh, like what do I do now? Like I've gone from having a teaching salary and funding to nothing. So that's when I started picking up the Wisdom Weightlifting stuff, and we grew the business kind of that way. And people that have been with us through the whole thing, they're like, we could see the massive difference when Sarah came on board. Like it just got more, like just more advertising and stuff like that. Yeah. And just the ability to push it more, because there was two of us doing it, I guess, as well.
Yeah, you can bounce off each other, right? Chuck each other ideas and be like, no, that's not good, that's really good, and then build it to make it better, right?
Yeah, exactly. But so whereas September, Jack went back to uni to start thinking about life post weightlifting to study. So he's down in London this year, and I've just left at home with the dogs looking after the business myself. So it's been a little bit busy this year, but
Just
getting there, bringing the money in. It's busy.
Like you say, it's one of those challenging times. But I think sometimes when you put yourself in a bit of pressure like that, it does really kind of push you into being like, how am I going to make it better and make it successful, right? I think sometimes some of the best results come out by being in those positions. But it, like you said, it's very
difficult,
especially if you said, right, see you later teaching, and then be like, cut. So, yeah.
Yeah, because obviously, like, they cut it in September, and there's no teaching jobs in September because it's the start of the school year. Like, so if it was to get a teaching job, I had to wait another, like, 4 months or something anyway. But I was like, do you know what? Let's just do this and go for, like, still try and train full time.
Yeah, so, fair enough. Cool. Okay. So then the next thing it leads on to is, why, say if someone came up to you and said, why should I do weightlifting? Why would you recommend it? It's an interesting one, an interesting question.
You know what I think it is with weightlifting is you can see your progress, like, really easily. Like, you can see if you're getting PBs, like, you can tell you're getting better. Whereas you think about maybe some team sports, say, like, you're playing rugby, like, you can practice your skills all day, but you can't necessarily physically see that they're improving. Whereas with weightlifting, you can see that progression, like you can plot it on a graph.
Yeah,
you can see that linear progression easily. And I think that in itself is a good thing, because you, like, everyone likes to progress, like you get satisfaction out of that. You can, you know, it makes you feel good, you know you're improving, and then it pushes you to improve even more.
That's pretty cool. It's good. I think, like you say, it's down to data, right? It's down to numbers, whereas potentially on sports like a team sport, is it's the whole point is, are we going to win the game? Yes, we're going to be better in drills and skill development and stuff like that, but it is a very different way of looking at it and properly logging it. Unless you've got someone who's a strength and conditioning coach that's doing everyone saying, right, your lifts are getting better, X, Y, and Z, it's great, but that's a supplementary element to it towards what it's actually for in terms of playing game and trying to win, right? Whereas weightlifting is like a little different. So let's say, so you recommend that. Now, what's your thoughts now on CrossFit and how it's kind of potentially opened a bit more kind of coverage to weightlifting? What is your kind of opinion on that, and what's your thoughts on that?
So, like, when it first came to the UK, like, a lot of the weightlifters were, what the, like, there's people, like, creating absolute carnage on our sport. Like, that was the way it was received. Like, what are these people doing to themselves and doing to our sport?
Yeah.
But it has had a massive effect on the sport, especially for the women. Like, when I first started weightlifting, I had to do 90 kilo total to qualify for my first national championships. Like, you have to be snatching over 90 kilos to be winning a medal in that weight class now. It's crazy. And you could not win nationals and win a medal because there was three people there in your weight class. Whereas now, like, you've got to push to qualify. There's A groups, there's B groups. Like, it's tough. Like, and that's because of CrossFit. It's just open exposure of our sport massively. And, like, it's cool for women to lift weights now as well. Like, when I first started, people were like, what are you doing that? And whereas now it's much more, like, well-received to the general public as well, I think.
So it's more accepted, so, because people see it as, oh, it's strong women now, right?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think there's just been a general shift in the media, like, with women's body image and stuff like that too as well. Like, all right, she's Kim Kardashian for all her sins and everything else. But, like, her body shape, like, all right, she probably paid for it. But has made it much more, like, that's what women are aiming for. And you're going to get that if you train through weight training of some form.
Yeah.
And then people find it interesting because I think it's just more interesting than just going into a gym and doing like bodybuilding style training. Like, there's more of a challenge, it's more interesting. Like, and yeah, like with CrossFit, there's the community. But like, that's one thing I like about CrossFit is that community. It's like walking into like an old school weightlifting gym. Like, everyone's friendly, like, everyone will help everybody out. Like, it's not like walking into a global gym, like a Virgin Active, and everyone's got their headphones in and doesn't talk to anybody and that sort of stuff. So I think just like CrossFit has done great things, and it allows me to make some money as well.
Yeah.
Like,
well, obviously, well, I think
it's no bad thing. I can't have it for that.
No, and I think more than anything, I think more the weightlifters now are seen as that kind of like those role models. You're seen as role models to be like, wow, I want to lift like her. But they might be in CrossFit, but they're like, we want to learn from you. And that's where I think now people, maybe potentially yourself as well, is looking at like, well, I can make a business out of it, and I can promote good form and making sure that everyone's following me and getting influenced by a GB weightlifter. Having that there as well is a pretty big deal as well. So that's pretty cool in my eyes, I think. Okay, now moving on to something else. Actually, let's keep to the weightlifting. Talk to me about this new tattoo. What is it?
Oh, yeah. I got so it is the Commonwealth Games logo. So it's kind of like the Commonwealth Games version of the Olympic rings. So I didn't have any tattoos until I got that. I don't know, like, still at 26 years old, I thought my mum was still going to shout at me.
Brilliant. It is one of those things you're like,
so, oh, yeah.
Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, like, I've been thinking about it since the Games. And I was like, I'd always said I want to get the Olympic rings. And I was like, you know what? I've been to 2 Commonwealth Games and I got a medal. Like, that is just as special. So I thought, why not? I'll go for it. And I did tell mum, and she was like, so I texted her, I didn't call her because I knew I'd be able to tell she was mad at me if I called her. So I still don't actually know if she's mad. She's claiming she's not. But she was like, yeah, it's small and it's from the Commonwealth Games. She was like, if I've been to a Commonwealth Games, I'd probably do it too. I was like, okay, cool. I'm covered.
Yeah, to be fair, as I say, it's fair enough. It has some sentimental value, right? And that memory, and it's a pretty impressive memory as well, and achievement. So going to that, you're talking about the next competition. Where do you see yourself now? What's the next competition and what's the aspirations after that?
So the next competition is the European Championships in 6 weeks' time, which is the second competition of our like Olympic qualification period. So the Olympic qualification runs from the world's just gone, so like November, all the way up until the Europeans next year, so April 2020. And in that time, we have to lift in 6 international competitions. And your 4 best results. Yeah, your 4 best results from that then create your ranking for the Olympics. And you have to have a top 8 world ranking from those combined.
Wow.
Or be the best in your continent to be invited to go. So it's a pretty busy 18 months. And a kind of a little bit of the unknown as well, because where it's your 4 best totals from these 6 competitions, like, you're not going to really know until another kind of, well, until like January, February time next year. Then you'll have an idea pretty much if you're going to go or not. But you've also then got the factor of a lot of these nations have only got like 1 or 2 quota places because of all the anti-doping stuff. So you might be down in like Kiev, but then all these nations that don't have like team spots might pick other weight categories. And then so you've gone from 20th to 10th. Like,
that's pretty good.
It's a little bit like unknown. But at the minute where I'm sitting, like, it's looking pretty good in terms of that. We've obviously only had the World Championships. So by the time we get like halfway through this year, we'll have a better idea of what's going on. But hopefully I'm going to get myself some medals at the Europeans this year, because I've not got any big old European medals. So I'm hoping to get some of those.
That's really cool.
Fingers crossed.
Best of luck with that. Right. Miss Intercontinental. Go.
Yeah.
tell everyone about it. Obviously, I'll put a link to your page on this podcast, especially on Instagram, and everyone will be like, weightlifting, what the hell? This is crazy. The extremes are like, when I saw it, I was like, I've got to talk about this. This is something that you wouldn't expect.
I feel like one breaks the stereotype of the other. Like, they're so like contradictory. I started competing in pageants not long after I started weightlifting, like March 2012. And I entered my first one like as a joke. I was working in a pub as a student, and there was like an advertisement in the local like magazine, and someone behind the bar was like, go on, do it, enter it. So I did. And I went to Miss England final, and then I was like, how did I end up here? Couldn't have a clue what I was doing. Like, I just entered on a whim. That was a little bit of an experience. And I realized that I can actually use that and my weightlifting to put myself out there almost as like a role model for young girls. So I was bullied at school for being muscular when I was a gymnast. yeah, I find myself doing weightlifting, being more muscly than ever. I'm more confident than ever in myself and in my own body. That's and cool. It was kind of finding the pageant as a platform to put myself out there so that 12-year-old me can see it, or someone like 12-year-old me can see it, hopefully, and realize that it is okay. Like, being muscly doesn't make you all those things that the bullies at school are saying about you and that sort of stuff. So I like to do it from that point of view. And it's also quite nice to just get away from weightlifting. So, like, I class weightlifting as my job now, even, like, the athlete side of it. Like, it is my job to be a weightlifter.
Yeah.
And then the pageants are kind of my hobby. So I'd done, like, pageants every year, like, in the UK. And then June last year, I won the Miss Intercontinental England.
Amazing.
So I went then on to the international final. It was in the Philippines this January.
So,
3-week trip to the Philippines.
Was that the
it was good.
Of like a you with a shield and a sword?
That was me. That was me in my national costume. So I went as Queen Boudica. So she was the first woman to like first powerful woman of British history. Really, she led the revolt against the Roman invasion and all that sort of stuff. And you have to have a national costume. And loads of girls go in like these like Victoria's Secret esque things, and they have like poppies and big back pieces. And like that's not me. Like, I'm not a tall, skinny Victoria's Secret model kind of girl. I was like, however, I look pretty badass as a warrior. So,
that's pretty cool. That's really, really cool. I think just going through and just kind of looking through Instagram, I was thinking, God, this is like, there's so much like contradictory stuff, like weightlifting, and you've got like the pageant side of things. And it's you know what? And like you said, you're giving younger women now, especially potentially that people, 12-year-old girls saying like, it's okay. And I think it's really nice to see that, because you saying that, it's just really instilling that confidence that you're as a, as an influencer, as a role model, you are pushing that positivity in terms of how people look and be like, it's okay to look like this. It's okay.
Yeah,
fair enough. People want to be that Victoria's Secret, but majority of people, it's so unrealistic. And for a lot of women, it can create a lot of obsessive disorders and harm. So I think you're doing something really cool, which I'm really, really enjoying.
And that was one thing that was quite scary at the international pageant, was that a lot of these girls were still stuck in a time warp of what you expect of pageants. So like the reasons that pageants got backlogged in the UK in like the 70s and 80s, and these girls with like eating disorders and stuff, like it was scary. Like at 26, I was one of the older contestants, but there's girls at like 18, 19 who, like, pageants are their life. Like, for me, it's a hobby, it's a bit of fun, whereas for them it's a life, and it's they're hoping that they'll get whatever out of it. And it was kind of like their eating and stuff, and or lack of eating, was just, it was eye-opening for me. Like, I didn't realize that it would still exist on that sort of in pageants, because in the UK it's so different, and it's about finding a queen who is a role model, who's gonna make a difference, who's gonna be a like positive like addition, whereas internationally it's still unfortunately a lot about how they look. Which is a shame, and it was such an eye-opener that I was just like, I can't believe this is happening. It's crazy.
Would you continue doing it? Are you still going to continue doing that as a hobby?
So I'm too old now.
Really?
So for a lot of Miss pageants, there's like an age limit. So quite often the upper age limit is 27, and I already turned 27 this year.
Yeah.
I get married in November, which rules me out of Miss. I mean, there are Miss pageants, but I'm a little bit proud.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit like, I don't know, like it, I feel like I've done the international quit on a high sort of thing. Like I'll probably still stay involved in the industry, and I would love to do like a nutrition seminar for some of the girls, because some of the information that they're given is just horrific. So I'd love to stay involved in the industry in some way, and still attend events and stuff, and hopefully make a little bit of a difference in that side of it. Is kind of my plan from now, because you know, like, pageants are fun, but I've also got an Olympics to try and qualify for and to focus on. So if I can just kind of stay involved a little bit, and then
cool. Okay, well, that leads me on to the next thing, is obviously the nutrition. We met at Mac Nutrition Uni Body Composition Weekend Residential Day, and then we got conversation flowing, and then I was like, wisdom for weightlifting. I was like, no way, it's crazy. And it was really cool to see as well, like, a lot of other people. You're looking around, you're like, wow, there are a lot of people here that are quite high up in their own areas, and are willing to learn from Martin and his team. And we're like, okay, well, this stuff is actually what people really need to know. So like you said about you were wanting to do like a seminar of nutrition to these girls and actually re-educate them on all that bullshit that people say and all these myths and be like, you know, what's okay. And like, I think everyone is obviously with a nutrition is realizing that there's no specific way of doing things, but there's a great way of communicating and giving people that, giving them trust in some ways and that certainty of it's okay to do this and let's stop demonizing everything and let's look at it in a real positive way. That's what I really like about it. I think a lot of people look at Martin McDonald's and they're like, oh God, he does this and that. It's this absolute savage, but it's so true at the same time. It's just like, yeah, because he's trying to push all of this really good stuff that people just are trying to disregard because they know that it's not as sexy as they thought and it doesn't sell. But once everyone learns that, they're going to be like, wow, I can endure this stuff and I'm going to go to these people because they know their stuff and they're going to give me the proper information. Yeah. So that's really cool.
I mean, like, my nutrition knowledge has only ever come from Martin, like, because when you're listening to the lectures and he talks about weightlifters, I'm basically playing guess the weightlifter he's talking about, because normally it's me or it's one of the other girls, like, I normally stream record it and then, like, whoever he's talking about. He obviously never names them.
No.
Like, they're people who were basically my family because I was spending that much time with them. So you kind of know everything, and it's funny when you hear the stories and stuff, like, being told, and you're like, oh, that was me. So my nutrition knowledge has only ever come from him, so I guess I'm lucky in a way that I've never been exposed to the bull that has come from the industry in other ways. Like, I still hear it, I still see it on social media. But yeah, it's the learning that foods aren't demonized and stuff, and that's the pageant girls, is they think that, like, for 12 weeks into pageant prep, they can't eat any chocolate or any cake or anything like that, and then they get the pageant and just binge on all the, like, shit food you can imagine. And I'm like, that's not good for you. Like, just have something every day. I mean, so I was 63 kilo lifter on the old weight classes, and I was sitting at like 64. I had a DEXA scan, my body fat percentage was about 15%, and the governing body decided to get down to 58. So I ended up probably about sub 10% body fat. I know you're dead. Martin hated me because I was like the most manly person on the planet, but like, I was still eating. Like, I used to call it, you know, the lip balls. Yeah. I used to buy them at the 58, and I was allowed one a day, and they were my sanity balls. Like, they kept me, like, from going insane. But, like, that's an extreme diet, and I can still fit it in. Whereas these girls are just doing it to lose a little bit of body fat, and it shows them that you can do it, while still looking. I mean, I wouldn't recommend anybody my size or stature trying to get that small or that lean, because I looked like I was going to die.
Yeah.
but it goes to show that it is possible.
Yeah, and I think that's it. And it's giving others a nutrition. So you're certified now, aren't you? In terms of are you all done?
Yeah.
So it's useful.
Yeah.
I think that's where a lot of people quite easy to jump towards. People are like, oh, why are you on that? Such low calories, and you have to just buy X, Y, and Z. But in some cases, like,
sorry,
that's all right. To be fair, I'm surprised. I've locked Kai out, so he's not running in. He'd be walking about everywhere. I'm surprised. Like, lost the train of thought now. The dogs. Yeah, so going to the extreme dieting, it's understanding tools and how to apply it correctly. And I think, like you said, it's building those good relationships with food and actually giving the people, like, this is what we need to do. And potentially if it's sports related, saying to them, it's okay, but this is going to be hard, but this is for a specific reason.
Like
I say, it has really opened my eyes and your eyes as well, I'm guessing, into nutrition. Like, you've only been exposed to Martin McDonald, which is great, because I've been exposed to a lot of other people. And then as soon as I went to Martin McDonald, I was like, what's going on? Like, everything's like going bang. I unfollow all these people. it was a big shock. We talked about the funding part. What is the kind of, where are we at now with funding with the Olympic weightlifting?
So we don't get anything as it stands. So I was saying about the 6 competitions that we have to do internationally.
Yeah.
They cost about £1,500 to £2,000 per competition, and it all has to come out of my pocket.
God. Okay.
Yeah. So basically, if you want to go to the Olympics, you've got to find nearly 10 grand to do it, which most people don't have lying around. Like, I don't have it lying around. Like, I'm basically living like a student again. Being on the classroom.
It's sad to hear, like you said, but doesn't it come to, if someone wins a medal or gold, does that then say, right, we're going to introduce funding?
Yeah, so if we were to win medals at this Olympics, which if there was ever an Olympics to do it at, it's this one with so many people like banned and stuff like that, and they're on it with the doping because of the chance we'll be kicked out of future Olympics if not. So if we get medals, which would be very nice, I'm not going to say I'm not aiming for that because obviously I am. But
yeah, who isn't it in terms of your level?
We could potentially get medals and get funding. But the thing that is really annoying is that playing weightlifting for another 2 years after that, like whether I'll do a following Olympics, like so I could get funding for somebody else for me to like not necessarily use, which would be frustrating. But yeah, hopefully if we get some medals, we'll get some funding back. I know that they are currently bidding to try and get some funding for those that are likely to qualify for the Olympics. They're trying to get funding for our competitions, which would obviously be a massive help. So there's still no direct. We used to get like athlete performance allowance, it was called, so almost like a salary, like a grant that you get monthly. There's none of that anymore. And then competitions were paid for until like this time last year. They kind of dropped the bomb on us that we have to pay for everything ourselves. Which was not cool.
Yeah, it's not great at all.
Yeah, but you just find the money, don't you? Like, if you want to do it, you find it.
Yeah, you work hard in some way. Being, like I say, like being self-employed or trying to find an element of, like, how am I going to make money, which I enjoy doing at the same time. Like you said, wisdom for weightlifting was one of those things, right? It starts spark how we fund this, which is a really cool thing. Yeah. Right, so we've talked about your weightlifting. You've talked about intercontinental. So you're Miss Intercontinental England. Is that correct?
Yes.
Cool. And then, and that's a casual hobby, which is amazing. Let's just go through. I'm still baffled by it. It's such a polar opposites to each other. Let's just quickly, I'm just going to quickly get the charger on this laptop. I think it's actually just about to die. But have a think. What is the most common mistake for weightlifting? Have a think.
Oh.
So what would you say the most common mistake for weightlifting is?
I'm in a position right now, I'm like, am I going to be controversial, am I going to behave myself? I might give you two answers.
Cool, go for it. Just, I say it's being honest and being being truthful.
Most common mistake is going to someone for coaching who doesn't know anything about weightlifting.
Cool.
Like, I see that all the time. People are like, yeah, but this person taught me this. And I'm like, this person, like, you don't necessarily have to be a good weightlifter to be able to coach weightlifting, but you have to understand the movements.
Yes.
And at least have tried them in some capacity. Whereas these people have, like, never snatched or cleaned any jerks. Like, how are you going to coach somebody? Like, they've read about it, though. Like, you get a lot of people in weightlifting who have read about the science of weightlifting and read about the biomechanics of weightlifting and the coaching and the training behind it, but they've never practically tried it. And, like, that's the thing with weightlifting. Like, I've come across so many S&C coaches over the years that they're like, yeah, but I read in this book that if you train like this and you do this volume and you do these exercises, that this will happen. And you're like, just train. Just, like, people try and overcomplicate weightlifting all the time. Like, really quite simple when it comes to training and stuff. Like, people overcomplicate it and try and do stupid things with their training programs to, like, sex it up. It's like nutrition. People can make themselves sound sexier to doing it when realistically, like, all you need to do is, like, say stay over the bar or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the cues are a lot simpler and people try and overcomplicate it massively. Like, you hear it at competitions, people are shouting like 9 things at their lifters. I'm like, that lift takes 3 seconds. Like, they can't press 9 cues in that time. Like, it's just not possible.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the biggest thing, is like coaches and people overcomplicating it and stuff. And I think it's a lack of knowledge from their point of view, it's insecurity that they try and, like, do it that way. In terms of a, like, more technical thing, that's a tricky one. The thing you see most often that comes from, like, I think it comes from people trying to lift as quickly as possible in, like, CrossFit. The bum lifts up first in a lift.
Glad you
call it a stripper snatch.
Yes, I like to say, or like I do say a slut drop, it's the other way around. It's like stripper, I call it like a stripper lift or whatever. Yeah, that's cool. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah,
that's what I see. Yeah, very common.
Yeah, that's most of the time what we spend correcting on workshops and stuff is that. So
cool. Favorite movement currently? I say currently because I know that myself, I fall out of love with both movements. I love the snatch. I hate the snatch. I love the clean and jerk. I hate the clean and jerk. What, at the moment, do you enjoy the most?
This is really interesting, right? Because I'm a clean and jerk lifter and have been for the last couple of years.
Cool.
Like, my gap between snatch and clean and jerk is like 30-something kilos on a regular basis in competition, which is massive for, like, a girl's difference. That's kind of common for a male difference in a lift. Like, I'm normally a clean and jerker, and I like being able to just slap a heavy weight on the bar and throw myself under it. the glory lift, basically. Yeah. But recently in training, I've become a bit more of a snatch lifter, and I'm a little bit concerned. Like, I'm like, what's going on?
Do you find it does change, or do you find that it's now just changed because it always was clean and jerk, but now it's...
So when I first started, it was snatch for a couple of years, mm-hmm. and then my technical stuff on snatch just went completely out the window. Yep. I just got strong, so like clean and jerk, you can get away with just brute strength. Whereas now it's starting to shift. Like, I'm enjoying snatching and training, whereas before, like, it would bring tears. Like, a couple of years ago, there was nearly tears every day in training when it was snatch day. Like, it was just horrific. Just because we were trying to make technical changes and my body just didn't want to listen to them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's starting to shift, and I can keep my clean and jerk up. Like, there's going to be a storm, basically. There's going to be a force to be reckoned with if I can snatch and clean and jerk.
So, that'd be really cool. I look forward to kind of seeing what you can kind of get on the day. Now, in fact, we've spoken about a lot already, but just quickly, before we finish, dogs. You've got two dogs. You've got two German Shepherds. Are they German Shepherds?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why German Shepherd?
So they're both rescues, but they're from German Shepherd Rescue. So I grew up with a German Shepherd, and Jack, as like his family, always had them. Mm. So it was just kind of what we had. And they're so lovely. Like, they, especially with Jack not being here at the minute, like where he's living down in London, like, they're so protective, and like, they know when there's something up. So like, if I'm having a day where I'm like, you know what, I miss Jack, like, they can sense it, and they're so much like cuddlier and stuff. They're so cute.
That's cool.
It was just, we always had them.
Yeah, I wish my dog's like that. I think he normally just sleeps, and if you hug him, he just gets get away from me. And I, as you know, I spoke to you, the whole try and get this podcast was that he ate a house key, which apparently came out. And then worse comes to worse, he's now eaten the pad or whatever it is, the wrap on his arm. That was, anyway, it's one of those. But like I say, we wouldn't change him. I probably would change Kai. But do you take him to the gym and stuff like that, or they solely stay at home?
They stay at home on the basis that they are really boisterous, and if they were like in the gym, they'd just be chaos. They'd be running around all over the show, and like they wrestle like theirs as well when they play, like they're up on their back legs, and like there's a lot of noise that goes on and a lot of like spit flies around, which probably wouldn't be that well received in the gym.
Yeah.
Little dogs that were like the size of their heads, and people would be like, oh, aren't they cute? But because they're so big, it's like 35 kilos of dog, like per dog. People aren't so well receiving, but they right on cue. Baby.
So they are called. Go through the names of the two. I'm not going to say it right. So
Appy, who is named after a weightlifter,
cool.
And Lady Lou. So she came with that name because they're rescues. So yeah, cool. Hey, that's enough. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, what would be the last kind of ending note for you? What would you say to anyone considering weightlifting, and how to go about that? That'd be my last question for you today.
If you're considering it, go for it. Find yourself a gym with a good like weightlifting history, or like a couple of lifters there that you kind of have heard of, because if they're there, then it means they've probably got a good coach. Find yourself a good coach that can help you out to learn the lifts and take you through stuff fundamentally, like not just slap the weight on the bar and just tell you to like throw yourself under it anyhow, because then we're gonna have issues.
Yeah.
And then you'll be coming to me in 6 months time to try and fix it.
That's the hardest part, right?
Find yourself a good coach and a good gym, and oh, hey, I'm on a podcast.
Hi, buddy.
this is my lodger. Find yourself a good gym, good coach, and kind of go from there, really. You'll probably enjoy it, because not enjoy weightlifting is super cool. And what's not to love?
Brilliant. Okay, well, thank you so much for taking time out and just talking about weightlifting dogs, Mr. Continental England. Like, amazing. But thank you so much. And I'll be tagging you up on this podcast and kind of sending you over to you, so you've got the content as well. But anything else other than that? We'll get any kind of last word. Cool. Well, anyway, have an amazing... I don't speak to you before. I think I'm going to see you anyway. When's your wedding?
November.
So, okay, so I'll, I'll see you. Actually, you won't be doing the case study, will you? Because you just finished everything. So if I don't...
I haven't done the case studies, but okay. I'm going to try and do them. It depends when the days work and stuff.
So. Right, cool. Well, have an amazing wedding. have an amazing time at the competition. Thank you. I'll speak to you anyway. And yeah, good luck. Thank you so much. Brilliant.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe on my iTunes, and also if you could follow me on Spotify, that would be absolutely amazing. If you haven't done so already, please follow Sarah Davis on Instagram. Like you can see and probably hear, if you haven't looked already, she is a pretty epic person. She's done so much and hopefully has inspired so many women and guys for that matter, because she can lift a hell of a lot more weight than most guys, including myself. So she is a massive inspiration, and all the best to her with all of her competitions. And she's getting married soon as well, as you know. So thank you so much for listening. Please like and share this wherever and with whoever you can, and keep listening.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.